Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another installment of Dark Realms. This is where we take a look at one of your suggestions for a place that's known to be haunted, or at least exceptionally creepy. And this time round, the place is Chingle Hall, near Preston in the UK. And this was suggested by our wonderful listener, Jennifer. So, let's jump right in to this edition of Dark Realms. As usual, if you're listening to this on audio, the podcast, you can head over to YouTube and search for The Dark Paranormal there, and you'll find the video for this podcast, which will feature some photographs and other little bits which might help with what we're going to talk about. And vice versa, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's also the podcast, The Dark Paranormal, which features full length and rather terrifying at times experiences sent in by our wonderful listeners. But right now, we're going to talk about Chingle Hall, a place that has been called the most haunted house in Britain, and arguably with good reason. Chingle Hall started as a medieval manor near Preston in the UK. But it wasn't always called Chingle Hall. It was built in 1260 and named Singleton Hall after a knight named Adam de Singleton, when he built this moated small manor. Now, the de Singleton family owned the hall for centuries, even renaming it Chingle Hall and remaining in possession until the death of the last heir. And that heir was Eleanor de Singleton in 1585. Now, during the turbulent Reformation era, the staunchly Catholic de Singletons secretly used Chingle Hall as a refuge for worship. They would hide priests behind walls or in hidden locations like their chimney. Remember, this was at a time when saying the Catholic Mass was literally illegal. Fittingly, it's also allegedly the birthplace of an actual saint in 1620, when a Catholic priest, eventually turned martyr, Father John Wall, was born. It's said that his severed head was hidden within the walls after his execution for heresy in 1679. Although that is debated, with another account stating his severed head was sent back to France, a place where he studied to become a priest and took his vows. He was beatified in 1920 and eventually canonized as a saint in 1970 by Pope Paul VI. Though the severed head claim can be debated, the hall's history as a sanctuary in times of religious persecution cannot. Over the centuries, Chingle Hall passed through many hands. The Wall family inherited it via marriage back in the late 16th century, and later it was a farmhouse under the Farringtons and Longtons. By the mid-20th century, the Howarth family occupied the aging manor. Owner Margaret Howarth adored the house, and in the 1970s began offering guided tours, proudly showing off its ancient priest holds and recounting ghostly legends to visitors. After her death, sadly, the house sat empty and was badly vandalised until two new owners, John and Sandra Coppleston Bruce, purchased and restored the property back in 1986. And Chingle Hall's ghostly reputation grew and grew, and by the early 1990s, it was being touted as the most haunted house in England. In 1994, a Canadian professor, along with his wife, bought the hall with plans to turn it into a major tourist attraction. But things didn't go as planned, as the couple sued the previous owner, claiming they'd been misled about the extent of the hauntings. In court hearings, it was discovered that some ghost stories may have been exaggerated by prior residents to draw in tourists. The business proved unprofitable, losing £30,000 a year, and the venture eventually collapsed. Now, since the mid-90s, Chingle Hall has been closed to the public and remains a private residence under owners who are indifferent to its spooky fame. But that doesn't stop the legends. the whispers of its bloody history and restless spirits. They continue to tantalize ghost hunters, folklorists, and people like you and I. And we're going to start looking at those spirits right now. Firstly, the tragic Lady Eleanor de Singleton. She is one of Chinglehold's most harrowing legends. And the story of Eleanor is one of a tormented spirit that's said to linger in the room where she met her tragic end. Orphaned as a little girl, young Eleanor became heir to Chingle Hall at just 6 years old in the late 1500s. Records show she was placed under the care of two unscrupulous uncles, and it's here that dark folklore shrouds her fate. According to local legend, the wicked uncles imprisoned Eleanor in an upstairs chamber for years, and she was subject to repeated abuse, resulting in multiple pregnancies. The infants born to her were tragically disposed of, one after the other. It's said four babies were born alive only to be murdered by the uncles. Several others were stillborn, and the final pregnancy proved fatal. In 1585, when she was 18, Eleanor died giving birth to a deformed child, a baby born with hydrocephalus, an enlarged skull. Some versions of the tale even suggest the uncles may have killed Eleanor afterwards to hide their crimes. This tale of long torture, incest, and infanticide is amongst the gruesome that we will ever cover on this show. And many believe the imprint of Eleanor's suffering still permeates the very room where these atrocities occurred. And you can imagine why. Visitors have long reported an oppressive atmosphere of sadness in Eleanor's room. Many entering this chamber unexpectedly burst into tears, or feel crushing despair without any explanation. Investigators describe an emotional energy almost palpable in the air. It's as if the walls themselves have remembered her trauma. One overnight guest recalled a chilling episode during a séance in the hall. "I had floods of tears rolling down my face. I wasn't feeling any depression or sadness. It was just an overwhelming experience of tears." On another occasion, a group of visitors suddenly felt an overwhelming rush of emotion, with several people breaking down, sobbing, even fainting after becoming overcome with grief in that very room. Such intense reactions are often attributed to Eleanor, her grieving spirit reaching out. Some have even claimed to see the ghost itself, a young woman in a long old-fashioned dress drifting through the corridors. A tour guide in the 90s reported that an entire group saw a pale female figure in one corner, watching silently before vanishing. Legend holds that Eleanor loved her ancestral home despite the misery and death, and refused to leave. After death, of course. The scent of lavender, said to be Eleanor's favourite scent, sometimes will waft through her former bedroom without any earthly reason. Whether it's a residual haunting or the sentient ghost of a tragically lost girl, the story of the Lady of Chingle Hall brings with her an aura of heartbreak. Amid the sorrow, there is also fury. Several visitors have reported being touched or even shoved in that room, as if Eleanor's rightful anger is still lashing out. It's a haunting steeped in pain, misery. An innocent girl turned into an anguished spirit, eternally bound to the place of her very suffering. But next we'll look at the saint, the martyred priest, St. John Wall, and other monks which have been seen at the hall. They are an infamous presence in Chingle Hall. In fact, an infamous figure seen at the hall is a monk-like hooded figure, believed to be the ghost of a priest from the hall days as a secret Catholic retreat. As mentioned, during the Reformation, Chingle's owners risked their very lives to harbour fugitive priests and celebrate banned Catholic Mass. within its very walls. It's small wonder that several monastic apparitions seem to roam the premises. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today. The most celebrated, as mentioned, is St. John Wall, a Franciscan priest and martyr who lived in the 1600s. Though some historians doubt he was actually born at Chingle Hall, he had strong ties to the house and was definitely sheltered there numerous times. Father Wall was eventually captured and gruesomely executed in 1679 for his faith. We already know he was decapitated, but in those days of good old England, that wasn't enough. So he was hung, drawn, and quartered. His followers rescued his severed head, as we touched on earlier, and local legend says it was smuggled back to Chingle Hall and hidden within a wall of the house. Ever since, people have claimed Father Wall's restless spirit still walks the halls, maybe searching for peace or for his lost head. In truth, there are multiple accounts of monk spirits on the property. Some drifting through corridors, others outside by the orchard or crossing the old bridge by moonlight. All are described as cowled figures in robes, sometimes faceless beneath their hoods. Their presence often carries a religious aura. Witnesses have caught whiffs of incense and heard disembodied voices murmuring Latin prayers in the chapel. The chapel where the clandestine Catholic Mass once took place. These phenomena lend an almost occult atmosphere, as if long-forbidden rites are still being enacted by the spirits of the faithful departed. Encounters with the monk of Chingle Hall can be deeply unnerving. Eyewitness testimonies over the decades consistently describe the same chilling scene. In 1980, local radio producer Terry Whittaker stayed overnight to try and record some paranormal activity. And he came face to face with the impossible. He's quoted as saying, "At about 20 to 1, we heard footsteps out in the corridor. We then watched this entity just standing there, his arms tucked in his sleeves and his cowl up. Not only was he definitely a monk, he was as solid as you or I. And after about 30 seconds, he just drifted away, forwards and through a big cupboard that was not open." What Whittaker and his colleague realized moments later is that behind that cupboard lay the entrance to an old priest hole. It was as if the ghostly monk was still making his escape into a secret passage. This experience left the hardened investigator shaken and utterly convinced something supernatural was taking place at Chingle Hall. A tour guide once saw a monk in a doorway, describing him as a short figure in a white habit, about 5 feet tall, who vanished into thin air. And a group of travellers from New Zealand all witnessed a veiled, featureless monk standing against a wall with one hand raised, as if to hide his face. In one late-night vigil, a team of nurses sitting upstairs began to feel like they were not alone. One nurse suddenly blurts out, "I can see something. There's someone above your shoulder," to her friend. Another nurse gasped, saying that she could feel an unseen presence coming behind her and was too scared to look. In the dim light, a few of these ladies glimpsed a hooded figure standing over them, triggering mass panic. They were in tears. They couldn't talk for over an hour, and they knew it was going to be a very, very long night. Accounts such as this paint a picture of a haunting priestly presence that's not always benign. Along with sightings, people have reported physical sensations, sudden chills, or a guiding hand. One elderly visitor even claimed an invisible monk steadied her arm as she climbed the stairs. On the darker side, a foul stench of rotten meat has overwhelmed some sensitive visitors in the so-called John Wall Room, a room which skeptics might attribute to mundane causes, but others regard as a sign of a sinister spectre. Whether one believes it to be the saint, John Wall, or some other nameless friar who died in hiding, the monk of Chingle Hall is one of the most famous and fearsome spirits. The image of a cowled monk gliding through solid walls and muttering Latin prayers in the dead of night is not one I'd like to see or hear. It would certainly be a sight for someone much braver than I. And finally, and arguably more heartbreakingly, we have the skull-faced child, or what's been known as the skull-faced child. Perhaps the most disturbing entity, which is said to haunt Chingle Hall, because the skull-faced child was Eleanor's ill-fated last child. The poor disfigured child is obviously directly linked to Eleanor's tragic story and is often cited as a skull-faced apparition, one that has startled visitors for decades. According to legend, the newborn that cost young Eleanor her life in 1585 was terribly disfigured. Swollen head, malformed, and although the baby died at birth, or maybe murdered shortly after, many believe its tiny, unbaptized spirit never left the hall. Disturbing tales grew over the years of a ghostly child making itself known in unsettling ways. The cries of a baby have been heard throughout the hall, going through the empty rooms at night and even captured on tape by paranormal researchers when no child was around. Visitors will occasionally report the faint sound of an infant's wail or giggle coming from the darkness, only to find no source. There are also several accounts of small, wet footprints inexplicably appearing on the floors, as if some young toddler had wandered through a puddle or that moat and then into the house. But the most infamous manifestation is the ghastly face in the window, a partially transparent visage with huge, hollow eyes and a grotesque skull-like grin that's been spotted peering from an upper bedroom window. The apparition was long assumed to be connected to Father John Wall, or Saint John Wall. Locals whispered it was the dead priest's head, looking out from his hiding place. However, many now believe the giant skull is in fact Eleanor's final child, forever bound to the room where it drew its first and last breath. It's as if the horror of that whole situation and the infant's brief existence imprinted itself as a permanent spectral image, doomed to repeat, a stone tape theory like no other. One chilling piece of evidence supporting this story actually comes in the form of a photograph taken in 1980. Amateur photographer Lucas Campbell snapped a picture of Chingle Hall's facade. It was on a quiet afternoon, and quite unexpectedly, when he got the photographs developed, there was a monstrous face at the upstairs window. He's quoted as saying, "The photo, with what appears to be a large skull-like apparition at one of the bedroom windows, he describes. But there was definitely nothing in the window when I took that photo, with the face only becoming evident when it was developed. The unnerving image does kind of show a pallid, oversized skull peering out, or pareidolia. Some suggest it was the ghost of the martyred priest, but Campbell felt otherwise. Again, he's quoted as saying, "I'm inclined to believe the story is true, as I think the giant skull face in the window is Eleanor's last child, especially with its enormous head." Indeed, that room was later dubbed the St. John Wall Room. Yet it may be the wrong name. Its phantom occupant could very well be the tormented infant. Apart from the photo, witnesses have reported seeing a childlike shadow flit past that window from outside, or a tiny figure in an old-fashioned christening gown toddling in the upstairs, only to vanish when approached. In one recorded investigation, researchers left recording devices in the hidden priest holes, adjacent to the room. On playback, they were astonished to hear not only the sound of a church bell and clinking chains, but unmistakably a baby crying into the empty hall. It's as if the residual echoes of that doomed child still do reverberate under the rafters of Chingle Hall. Encounters with a skull-faced child are rare, but clearly profoundly upsetting. Some feel a sudden drop in temperature, following the soft sob of an infant emanating from a corner. Others have caught a glimpse of what looked like a tiny skeletal hand waving or pressing against the glass before fading away. The most dramatic sighting remains the giant ghostly face that was caught in that photograph. Apparently, it frightened one individual so much they refused to ever go back into the house. For me, there's an element of pareidolia definitely to the photograph, but who's to say? Even hardened ghost hunters find this spectre disturbing on a primal level. There's an occult-like dread associated with this infant ghost. Perhaps they represent innocent, corrupted, or unfinished business in the afterlife. In the case of Chingle Hall, the infant's apparition is a dark reminder of the unspeakable cruelty that unfolded in those walls. As one paranormal researcher put it, "As long as that hall stands, the spirit of Eleanor de Singleton and her doomed offspring and those dark deeds will remain forever embedded within the fabric of the very building." And so the cursed child of Chingle Hall wanders in shadow, a pint-sized phantom with allegedly a huge head, to quote someone else, gathering both pity and terror in equal measure. For me, the sad part about Chingle Hall now is its private ownership and the fact we can't go and see it or visit it. It's one of those rare times, such as the Amityville House, where somebody, I will use the phrase normal, moves in, or should we say skeptical, and they experience nothing and therefore make out everyone else's experiences are nonsense. So it would seem like we may have to wait until that house is either vacant again or somebody does open it up to the public. And in all honesty, if they did, I'm not sure I'd like to go. And it's not down to the ghostly images or even encountering a monk or a saint. It's down to knowing what took place there to the poor Lady Eleanor. I don't think I could go into a place that had such dark actual acts take place. Or maybe I could. I'm unsure. I will think and I will let you all know next week. In the meantime, stay safe and I'll see you all here next week for a new dark realm that we'll go and investigate together. Until then, stay safe and take care.